Welcome back, Commander.
This is
my house tells.
Mysteries.
Fact, fantasy, and history have come together to tease the imagination.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Hello and welcome to Tryhouse Tales Mysteries of History, Episode 5, where we are covering the Bermuda Triangle. I am the effervescent potpourri of poop, Jeremy Griffith, and over here we got Kevin. Self-describe.
I am Kevin C. Frederick. I'm just great.
Ain't that
fuck
the truth?
You.
I'm not clever enough to think of any kind of
And I'm Matthew McKay.
And we are
Tryhouse Films. And what we do is we take mysteries of our collective history and we read some stuff about them on Wikipedia and some other websites that Google leads us to. We usually don't go deeper than 2 pages.
Now that is some truth.
Bam. And then we tell you what really happened as we ingest these articles in our guts.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds pretty accurate. Yeah, gut feelings of what really happened, which normally leads to aliens. But for real though, aliens are out there. Watch it.
Bam.
So, for those of you who do not know, the Bermuda Triangle, also known as the Devil's Triangle, is a name coined by American author Vincent Gaddis, someone who you probably never heard of because I've never heard of him. Poor guy.
It is a triangular area in the North Atlantic Ocean spanning from Miami to Puerto Rico and Bermuda Island, which are two different places, with a total area of 500,000 square miles. And oh, I don't know about you guys, but that seems like a pretty big amount of area for shit to go wrong.
And that's actually the small estimate. God damn it, Jeremy. Because the people who originally kind of created the Bermuda Triangle largely differed on the size of it. It ranges from 500,000 square miles to like 1,500,000 square miles because the people just couldn't. It was based on like what the writers wanted at the time that the Bermuda Triangle was created. And the Bermuda Triangle first kind of happened in the 1950s based on like a bunch of shit that went missing in the area. In the 40s, late 40s, there's a lot of things that just went missing.
Yeah.
Or like unexplained events that happened.
Because that was like you were talking about earlier, like that was when, you know, humans actually started to record things more.
Oh, yeah. And like the media was like, wait a minute. If we make up something and claim it's true, people will believe us. And that's kind of what these skeptics of the Bermuda Triangle...
And that's how propaganda started.
Basically, they were like, that's how the liberal media started, was the Bermuda Triangle.
God.
No, but seriously, like,
Fox News.
A lot of the skeptics of the Bermuda Triangle stated that a lot of the facts... I'm not going to go into all the boring people that wrote articles about the Bermuda Triangle.
Can I just say, though, when you were talking about how, like, people disagree over how big it is,
mm-hmm.
it's probably because, like, when they're there, they're just like, lost. So they have no idea. Like, are we in it yet? It's like, I don't know. It's like
this feels like a 1,000 miles.
Yeah. It's like if you're, like, a really small guy and you're, like, having sex and it's like, are we in it yet? And you're like, I don't know. You know? Bermuda Triangle.
I personally have never been to the Bermuda Triangle, but I imagine it's nothing like that. Yeah, so these articles were written by a bunch of people that, like, basically, it started with a bunch of people that wrote articles in Miami that wanted to sell tabloids and everything, blah, 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 blah. And then a lot of people started writing articles all of a sudden in the 50s. And then, like, you know, Hollywood got a hold of, in the 50s, you know, movies have been taken off for a while now, but they started sensationalizing the Bermuda Triangle and everything. And so people started writing a lot of books. And then the scientists were like, wait a minute, some of these facts about where these ships even went missing is not right. You said it was lost off the coast of Florida. We found it. We found this boat over in Texas. There's no way this ship was
this
lost.
This is the media lying to us, is what you're saying.
Exactly what I'm saying. So the scientists, okay.
I don't believe you.
Exactly. That's a good way to look at it. Don't believe anyone.
Yeah. All I trust anyone. All I trust is the news.
God damn it. But the point is that all these people started, or all these scientists, probably 20 years later, were like, most of these books and articles were based on like sensationalism. There's nothing to them that's remotely credible because, you know, the Bermuda Triangle was defined as this, and then a crash happened 250,000 miles outside of it, and they're like, that's the Bermuda Triangle.
Wait, so you're saying the Bermuda Triangle was based all on lies?
Not just all on lies, but hefty exaggerations of the truth is what the skeptics would say.
Okay. No, I see what you're saying, because you're saying a plane crashed in Texas. It couldn't have had anything to do with the Bermuda Triangle. But because there were people claiming it was the Bermuda Triangle, that worked to discredit the whole idea of the Bermuda Triangle in
general. That and, like, who the fuck is going to fact check somebody who's like, there was a ship lost in the Bermuda Triangle. Actually, that's the Gulf of Mexico. And they're like, oh, Bermuda Triangle. And then everybody's like, oh my God, another ship goes missing in the Bermuda Triangle. No.
I see what you're saying.
No.
So no matter where the ships go missing, someone is like, Bermuda Triangle.
Exactly. Because it was never actually one of the...
Dude, that's just like terrorist attacks in the U.S. Someone's ISIS is like, it was us.
Right.
That is, right. You're a communist.
Just like Chief Powhatan, you know? Yeah.
It was me. Okay, here's another bullet point to kind of discredit the Bermuda Triangle. In 2013, the Worldwide Fund for Nature identified the world's 10 most dangerous waters for shipping, but the Bermuda Triangle was not among them.
Oh. Okay.
Ballsy. Yeah,
that's actually a really good point.
And also, I don't know if you guys know this. This is some scary shit. I thought nobody flew over the Bermuda Triangle anymore because everybody agreed that it was like...
Too dangerous.
Too dangerous. Every major airline flies over the Bermuda Triangle. Ships? I mean, there's a bunch of islands in there. And the only way to get into the Gulf of Mexico from like Western Europe is through the Bermuda Triangle. There's no...
That's why it has to be aliens. Because aliens, as we discussed, are so unpredictable that they'll just, like, pick and choose.
But the fact that no major organization or no scientific board even, like, closely agrees that the Bermuda Triangle is a real thing is actually a pretty big, tick for the it's bullshit column.
So basically, I'm never flying from Western Europe to the Gulf of Mexico. That's all I got from what you just said.
Yeah, and airlines...
He was actually just giving you flying advice.
Well, it's just like, you know, apartment complexes don't have a floor 13 because they're... Even if you're not superstitious, nobody's going to put a fucking floor 13.
Wait. There are floor 13s, though.
Floor 13s, but on the elevator it doesn't say it.
No, I've never been to a hotel that has a...
That's ridiculous.
Except for Disneyland. 14th
floor is still the 13th floor. Supernaturalism isn't going to be like, oh, they put 14 on the elevator.
No, but that's what they do. In New York.
What the fuck do you know about supernaturalism?
In New York, dude, I looked around because one of my friends told me, and it's like, yeah, nobody puts the 13th floor on apartment buildings because, but for some reason, airlines are like, yeah, we still fly over the Bermuda Triangle.
Wait,
that's
hold on.
1,500 square miles.
Well, yeah.
There's a 13th floor at the California Adventure and Orlando and I think Tokyo at the Tower of Terror.
Because it's meant to scare the shit out of you, Jeremy.
So there is a 13th floor in some hotels. I just wanted to make that point.
That's not for a the real viewers. Hotel.
Thank you very much. but yeah, so that's some of the criticisms of the... and a lot of the other criticisms of the Bermuda Triangle actually kind of lend itself to how the Bermuda Triangle is real. Like, a lot of it is like, oh, you know, there's just a lot of tropical storms in that area because of the hot and cold weather. And I'm like, that sounds like exactly what makes up the Bermuda Triangle. It's a bunch of nature shit we can't explain.
Yeah, just like those fault lines in Azores Island.
I know, it's like...
Which is part of the
Bermuda... Oh, yeah,
like,
okay.
Well, I feel like that argument is like, you don't have cancer. You just have cells in your body that are eating other cells. Okay, okay, I guess that was clearly lost. Never mind, cut it out.
Is that cancer? Oh, okay, we got a fact check from B. Yep, that's cancer. God damn it.
That is cancer.
I thought I was really on point with that metaphor.
you lost us. So those are kind of the reasons why the Bermuda Triangle is like debunked by most of the scientific community. But an average of, over the last 5 centuries, more than 1,000 ships have gone missing while in the triangle. And an average of 20 yachts and 4 aircraft go missing every year while passing through the triangle. Many of whom just don't send out a distress call, which, I mean, if I was in distress, probably the first fucking thing I would do is send out a distress call.
Whoa, but we're forgetting about some of the phenomena that happens in the Bermuda Triangle that would keep them from sending out a distress signal.
Yeah, so either, well, they might not
which
know.
Which would be like...
Aliens, bro.
I mean, hey, they have some pretty advanced jamming technology, I hear.
In the triangle. Yeah, so they try to send out a distress call.
In the probe.
And it never gets received.
Jam that probe in there.
or maybe they don't realize they're screwed until it's too late. And here's another example of why some people think it's not a thing. More than a few centuries ago, Cristoforo, an Italian explorer, passed through the triangle with three ships and 90 sailors. On his voyage through, he reported seeing a great flame crash down into the sea one night, and a few weeks later, a ball of light appeared on the horizon. Along with this visual phenomenon, he writes about the erratic behavior of his compass. He, however, passed through the triangle without harm and later discovered the Americas. Hashtag white privilege. Many people in the Western world know him by his English name, Christopher Columbus.
Wow, so he just saw a great flame
rise. And he's like, yo, that triangle, great balls of fire. My compass was whack, but I'm cool.
What I think that was like, I think he probably saw the Aurora Borealis. Mm. That's my guess.
Like the Northern Lights, that's what that is, right?
Like maybe it was flaring up. Maybe there was a solar storm.
Or just like... There's some very natural explanations for why the Bermuda Triangle is real. Like, the Gulf Stream is a major surface current, primarily driven by the thermal line circulation. I had a Wikipedia that one. That originates in the Gulf of Mexico and then flows through the Straits of Florida. So, without getting too scientific-y, it's basically a river that flows through an ocean. And the current is so strong, it can like...
It's like the EAC. From Finding Nemo.
The Gnarly dude, EAC. Come on, Crash.
Wait, no, that's SpongeBob.
That's serious thrill issues, dude.
Dude, I don't want to get too esoteric here. But what if the fact that Christopher Columbus, a.k.a. Cristoforo, safely passed through the Bermuda Triangle, where so many people have died... is like evidence of like destiny. God was like, manifest destiny must happen. Native Americans, that land was never yours.
Calm down, Jeremy.
God was like, here is the fire to light your path, Cristoforo.
Cristoforo. There are some other natural explanations for why the Bermuda Triangle happens or why ships just tend to go missing. A lot of it is like, tropical weather. You can ask New Orleans about this one. The tropical weather in that area, just terrible. Wipes away cities multiple times.
Yeah.
People keep living there. But yeah, so there's a lot of, like, tropical weather over there is just terrible. And so that is one of the possible reasons why so many ships go missing. It's just people are overconfident that they can overcome Mother Nature, which they can't. Another explanation is... It's pretty fucking cool. Methane hydrates, which is basically... all right, so there's large fields of methane that form on the continental shelves, like, you know, underwater. In this lab, they tested if bubbles could sink a model-size boat. And it turns out if a boat is floating on, like, calm water and there's enough bubbles that come up underneath it, they will throw off the buoyancy enough of the surrounding water that it will actually sink the ship. And so
like it flips the ship, like capsizes?
No. Like the buoyancy is thrown off. So the boat sinks and the water overtakes it and it sinks. is what I interpreted it as.
Nowadays, a lot of like yachts are made out of a material that even if that did happen, it would surface again.
No. We're saying that the air in the bubbles causes it to sink below the water level.
So it's like I don't even know what to relate that to.
It just
pulls the boat under.
It does pull the boat under because there's nothing but air in those bubbles. When it sinks so rapidly that water overtakes the deck. And then the water fills it and sinks it.
That's pretty crazy. Is there an actual documented event where that actually happened?
No, because it would only happen in the Bermuda Triangle where everybody fucking dies.
All right, that's a good point.
And they're sinking and he's like, quick, Johnson, write about this. Yeah. People need to know.
And so, and back to the Gulf Stream, which is, you know, the river and the ocean, people have speculated that any wreckage that would have been caused by, like, this type of methane, sinkage.
Deposit, I guess.
Yeah, it would have dragged the ship away, so it wouldn't have been in the Bermuda Triangle. But scientists believe that, or some scientists have hypothesized that periodic methane eruptions, basically they're called mud volcanoes from the ocean floor, would produce enough methane to sink a ship. And but science has said that
who the fuck is science?
Exactly.
what? Is that a guy?
Exactly.
I don't believe because anything I'm reading.
No.
But there are some like scientific communities that say that large methane hydrates worldwide haven't been released in, you know, thousands of years in that area. And it's just like, they're like, well, we don't know of any, you know, methane hydrate instances in that area for 15,000 years. So you're making it up. And you know why? Because all the ships that have experienced it have died.
Exactly. And maybe this happened to this guy. This is a story, this guy called Joshua Slocum.
Ladies, you know, he'll last all night.
Oh my God.
Jeremy, no. That was good.
So Joshua, not going to say his last name, gained international recognition
Slocum
for his solo voyage around the Earth. His next voyage, however, from Martha's Vineyard to South America in 1909 was never completed. Some attribute this disappearance to the Bermuda Triangle. I don't know, maybe he got sucked up by one of these methane gas deposits. I don't know.
Just imagine that. You're in a giant ship, and then all of a sudden, from the depths, there's all these bubbles. And it just... And you're like, well, first, my first thought would be it cracking. And then all of a sudden, you're just like... You're at the water level, and water just starts pouring over the ship. That's
terrifying. Nothing you can do. That is terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's another significant event that is... a support for the Bermuda Triangle. In the March of 1918, a 542-foot-long Navy cargo ship named the USS Cyclops sank with over 300 men and 10,000 tons of manganese ore, which is not magnetic, somewhere in the Bermuda Triangle. It didn't send out a distress signal, and the wreckage was never found. And something that is interesting about this USS Cyclops is that it is the largest military loss of life in history that is not attributed to warfare.
In U.S. history, at least. I don't know. But still, that's like... Yeah, it is... that's pretty sad to think about. Just 300, you know, U.S. Navy men were just lost by something that we can't describe. Are you kidding me? Like...
That people from Europe to the Gulf of Mexico fly over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, I wish those 300 U.S. men were people from my high school. JK.
No. Oh, that was intense.
That was dark, Jeremy. So the theory is that most of these like ships that sunk were never found again because the Gulf Stream just blew them away. And it's,
right, it just takes ships and moves them like much further away than the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, and it's even though the Gulf Stream only moves at like 5.6 miles per hour, it's still... enough. If you were making a water landing with an aircraft that was capable, it would still take that away from where you had predicted it would land. And then same thing if a boat loses
these currents,
capabilities. Yeah.
Yeah, these currents are not like the EAC, the East Australian Current.
And when you're a turtle, it's fine. But if you're a ship full of 300 men,
you're super dead.
And yeah, if you've lost engine power, it's just like, well, shit, there we go. Off to Australia.
Watch out for the spiders.
Holy shit.
This is some like pretty damning evidence that something weird is happening in the Bermuda Triangle. During a routine practice bombing of the coast of Florida, five Navy bombers experienced severe technical difficulties. The leader of the mission explained the experiences as, quote, as if they had flown to Mars, end quote. All five planes lost all navigational function and flew around aimlessly for hours until they were forced to land in the ocean and abandon their crafts. So here's like the full story. We're going to go deep into it. So it was routine practice, bombing at Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Many before it and many expected to precede it. Like this was not a localized event, like a localized drill. Navy Lieutenant Charles Taylor donned his flight gear and boarded his TBM-type aircraft. He had over 2,500 flying hours logged in on this beautiful aircraft.
Matt was there. He saw it. He can confirm the beauty of this aircraft.
He was ready to take it out again to supervise these trainees in a practice mission and show them how it's done. These trainees were the Fox Terror. That was their group. So takeoff schedule was 1345 hours. These hours are going to be very important. But 1345, it was delayed until 1410. They took off and reached Hen and Chicken Shoal, where the low-level practice bombings were initiated. After a few more location hits, pilots were supposed to turn in. After the last bomb was dropped, a crew member asked Power, who is the head of the crew, to identify his location. He replied, quote, I don't know where we are. We must have gotten lost after the last turn, end quote. Taylor later radioed in, quote, both our compasses are out, and I'm trying to find Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm over land, but it's broken. I'm going into the Keys, but I don't know how far down. I don't know how to get to Fort Lauderdale, end quotes. The NAS advised Taylor to put the sun on his port wing and fly north along the coast of the fort. Taylor, however, did not acknowledge the transmission and later radioed, quote, we are heading 030 degrees for 45 minutes. Then we will fly north to make sure we are not over the Gulf of Mexico, end quote. So these guys were totally lost, had no idea what was going on. Their compasses were totally out of whack. They're flying blind. Taylor was ordered to broadcast on two different frequencies to try and triangulate his position. To this, Taylor replied, I cannot switch frequencies. I must keep my planes intact, end quote. A few minutes later, Taylor ordered his trainees to head east for 10 minutes. A few moments later, one of the crew members exclaimed, quote, damn it, if we could only fly west, we could get home. Head west, damn it, end quotes. Soon the weather began to worsen and radio contact became even more intermittent. And soon they were believed to be at least 230 miles off the coast of Florida. As a final command, Taylor radioed in, quote, we'll fly 270 degrees west until landfall or running out of gas, end quote. Finally, several land-based radio stations were able to find Flight Set 19's position, which was 120 miles out to sea. Soon the sun set and the team were flying in the dark with compasses that didn't work. Taylor's last message was received by the NAS at 1904. Quote, all planes close up tight. We'll have to ditch, unless landfall. When the first plane drops below 10 gallons, we all go down together, end quote. Soon, everyone was alerted to the immediate search and rescue of these 14 men. Their planes went down. They ran out of gas. Two Martin BPM Mariner seaplanes were dispatched for a formation search pattern. However, during the takeoff, like minutes after the takeoff, one plane's transmission completely ended at 1930 and was never seen again. The SS Gaines Mills reported, which was a ship that was also heading one of the expeditions, reported to have seen 100-foot-high flames from on, like, I guess on the horizon.
And that's like what Christopher Columbus said he saw.
Yeah, kinda. The flames.
Yeah, when he was sailing.
But I think what these flames were, I think that plane.
Yeah, yeah, I was reading about that. It's just like,
exactly.
That PBM Mariner was a 13-man crew that went off to look for them.
And one of them just exploded immediately after takeoff.
And but nobody saw it explode except for this one ship. But it was just like a ship that was supposed to rescue the other people that crashed also went missing. And for scientists to be like, oh, this is, you know, this is hearsay and speculation. That thing was never should have taken off from ground is like, you know, that's.
But it was a rescue mission. I mean,
it's a rescue mission. And the thing burst into flames and only one person saw it. That's like, I don't know.
So they never found the five planes.
They never found. No.
Yeah. Damn. But here is the I will present the negative argument. Is according to contemporaneous sources, the you know, the PBM Mariner class ship or flight vessel had a history of explosions due to vapor leaks. So that's what the hearsay is that, you know, if
for the
if
you're, Martin if you're, BPM,
yeah, if that type of aircraft is overloaded on fuel, it's they said that there is a history of them just bursting into flames, which again. Why were we flying if ships just burst into flames?
Well, I mean, you just don't fill it up all the way, right?
I mean, logic, they were like, well, we got to save these people. And then they're just like a ball of flame.
But what? Okay. What I'm confused about. Well, okay. This first, I'm going to say something and then I'll say what I'm confused about. The first thing I'll say is that those planes that were flying, it sucks so much because I think it said that they were above land in the beginning. They were just over the Keys, you know, and they were trying to get to Fort Lauderdale. If they had just landed immediately in the Keys, they would have been fine. Like, it just sucks.
Dude, I don't know, dude.
You land in Florida
because
Keys?
Because then you would crash into, like, the Keys are land and water.
It's like they're a mixture of everything. Land a plane.
Oh, there's nowhere to land in the Keys?
Yeah.
But as small as those planes probably were, you don't think?
I don't think so. I think
okay. They weren't, like, meant to land on water. They were, like, they're, like, fighter Or bombers. They're just,
my guess is they'd have to ditch. They'd have to, you know, pop the eject.
Parachute, yeah. Dang, just,
which means
just,
that they would have to be over water.
But how did they get so far off?
Yeah.
From, if they were in the Florida Keys, it's like, you're right there. Just like, keep going north.
It's coming. Yeah, it sucked. And that's what I was thinking too. Like, because I feel like the Bermuda Triangle, like, if it is just something that throws off compasses, why don't people just keep on going along the path?
Well,
like,
unless they ran out of gas. The thing is, with these
just
people,
keep going all the path you're going on is your compass.
Well, I'm talking about ships too, right?
Yeah.
It's like, but when the compass starts going crazy, you don't know which way is which. You know what I mean? Or does it shift for like long periods of time where it thinks north is this way for several hours?
And that's one of the hearsayers is that like,
so like drives you in circles. Now you're like, wait, I've been here. I saw that dead seagull in the water.
I don't know.
That's crazy. That's scary, man.
No, that's why I will never be on the open sea, because if all the technology goes wrong,
Kevin, we know you love Princess Cruises.
I not enough.
Dude, I gotta be honest, like, cruises are like one of the most amazing things in the world. Not on the open ocean, because that stinks because it's too rocky, but like along the coast. Like, you
well, along the coast
anything.
Is one thing, dude. Imagine if you couldn't see dry land for hundreds of miles, and it's like if your instruments go out, there's no, like, Michael Phelps wouldn't last in the open water.
Michael Phelps would ride a freaking orca back to America.
Yeah, dude, he would dive, swim up to an orca, beat the orca in a race. The orca would be like, you are master.
You know, that was the most communist thing I've ever said. Michael Phelps would absolutely make it back to shore under any circumstances.
And then Michael Phelps and the orca would toke up a bong together, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those orcas like to toke.
And so does Michael Phelps.
You might as well call him Tokas. No, that was pretty bad.
That was like just enough of a stretch where it was great.
No,
it wasn't. I liked it.
I loved it. But
thanks, Jeremy.
Oh man.
Okay,
so yeah. Let me go over the last recorded Bermuda Triangle incident because it's pretty fucking crazy. So this is the last incident at sea because if you go on Wikipedia, they have them. There are so many incidents with the Bermuda Triangle that they have broken up by categories, like aircraft and then like seafaring vessels. So the last one was in 2015, 2 years ago. That
was like less than 2 years ago.
We should have mastered like navigation on the sea by 2015. We should be experts. The sea should be our bitch.
Yeah, we have GPS now. Like we don't have to rely on compasses.
Everybody has GPS. That's the thing.
Google Maps.
Yeah. That stuff is like
amazing. We surely have Google Maps works on the ocean.
We have charades on our phones.
That's what that should be their next thing. They should have a Google Map for boats.
Dude, they do.
Do they really?
Bam.
They have to.
It's like turn left at this wave. Like, okay. The wave is gone.
Which wave?
There's so many waves.
So the last vessel to go missing in the Bermuda Triangle, according to Wikipedia, the other ones we probably don't know about, the SS El Faro. It was originally made in Puerto Rico. And
what?
It was basically it's a cargo
Did
vessel.
Did you just say what to say what?
What?
Why was it made there?
Yeah, it was made in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And it's a cargo vessel, the one that has like, you know, the big shipping containers and everything on it. Okay, so on September 30th, 2015 at 2 a.m., the El Faro left Jacksonville, Florida for San Juan, Puerto Rico, carrying a cargo of 391 shipping containers, about 294 trailers and cars. Guess those guys never saw their cars. And a crew of 33 people, 28 Americans and 5 Poles, just for fun.
Wait, Poles are not people. That's like things you hang for like tetherball.
No, the Poles as in like Polacks.
Oh, the Poles.
I know. Yeah. I just wanted to cause a scene.
And Poles aren't people. They're inanimate objects.
We climb poles in P.E.
And so, along this time, if you followed our Mary Celeste podcast last time, the oceans used to be a place where just like whichever ship you were, you owned that ship, you worked for that ship, you were your own corporation. This ship, however, in 2015 was owned by another corporation. Like they had tons of these freighters, and this at the time there was like a hurricane brewing in the.
He means brewing.
A Bruin in the Bermuda Triangle area, and the corporation Tote Maritime, or TOTE Maritime,
Tot,
said that the captain at the time thought the waters were safe enough to sail anyways to get to their destination, and they said we didn't encourage this. We were just like, okay, yeah, the waters are safe enough. You should make it by the time there's a tropical storm. Before the tropical storm turns into a hurricane, you should be able to get to your destination in time.
Like, seems legit.
Yeah. And so they were like, everything's fine. And then the captain asked all the crew members, are you all fine? And they were all like, yep. Except one was like, yeah, I'm not comfortable with this, but everybody else is doing it. I don't know what the guy's name was. But and so one of the guys was like, he sent... Okay, you know, again, shout out to the Mary Celeste.
That
they
is
were like
peer pressure at its finest.
Yeah. They used to write,
"Don't do drugs."
That'll be like my
and
new.
Don't get on boats when they're headed for a disaster.
That's like for my kids. Instead of being like, if everybody jumps off a bridge, you're gonna do it. Like, if everybody wants to sail to Puerto Rico from Florida, are you gonna do it?
Like, fuck no.
It's like, that sounds fun. Sailing, cool.
So the one naysayer of the crew of the El Faro, or Faro...
was the only one who survived. Please say that.
No, they're all dead.
Damn it. their body... they were in Pirates of the Caribbean as Jeffrey Rush's soldiers.
Wow. And he said, again, shout out to the Mary Celeste, that they used to have to write letters because this one person voiced concern prior to sailing and wrote in an email to friends and family... there's a hurricane out there, and we're heading straight into it. That was the one naysayer's last email he sent to his family. And this vessel also, because again with the Mary Celeste, there was no like requirements on what is safe to sail. This vessel passed all the Coast Guard inspections, passed all the American Bureau of Shipping inspections. Everything was good and cleared for this shipping vessel.
So what happened to this ship?
All right, dude. And so they went out setting sail for Puerto Rico, and during their sails, it turned into a hurricane. Bam, bam,
bam. How do we know that?
Emails, right?
No. It's 2015, dude. We've got like fucking Doppler radars and shit.
Oh, the
like,
hurricane got to land?
No. Was it just, it's out still there? Like there's a screenshot of where the El Faro is
Joaquin.
In the fucking Hurricane Joaquin.
Ooh, that's crazy.
Hurricane Joaquin?
Hurricane Joaquin.
That was the hurricane?
Yeah.
Dude, I remember Hurricane Joaquin.
Yeah, dude. So did these people's families.
So this really was in 2015.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was intense.
Yeah, like,
you'll never forget Hurricane Joaquin.
Every time you see a Joaquin Phoenix movie, it's done.
So around 7:30 a.m. on October 1st, less than 30 hours after the ship sailed from Jacksonville, the United States Coast Guard received a satellite notification that the vessel had lost propulsion, taken on water. Though flooding was contained at the time, the vessel had a 15-degree list. According to Tote Maritime, the corporation that owned the vessel, the loss of the propulsion is what ultimately sealed the fate of the vessel. It left it helpless in approaching a hurricane. Because for hundreds of miles, this vessel had lost propulsion, but on, you know, satellite images, it showed this vessel just kept going to the eye of the hurricane in the Bermuda Triangle, which is like, why would any vessel ever, like, go... Because
you're passing through the harshest storm to get to no storm and then back into the harshest
exactly.
storm.
But what's odd is that...
That's so weird.
I remember reading something that they...
All their equipment, like, crapped out on them. Their engine wasn't working. Electricity wasn't working. What in God's name could have caused that?
Okay, so this vessel's original intent was... Their course was originally like 150 miles away from this storm. And for some reason, this vessel, after it lost propulsion, was driven into the storm. It wasn't in the storm yet, and it was driven into it. And then...
And that doesn't even make any sense, because it feels like wind would have blowing... For a hurricane, wind blows outward. That's why there's an eye. Everything's blowing out.
Exactly. And so unless there was some unnatural... freaking phenomenons
pulling it
going on, bringing it in to its death.
And this is 2015, which means aliens are still here.
That's what you're saying, bro. So after this vessel went down, everybody and their mom in the United States went out looking for this vessel. And it was like impossible to find. And then they eventually found it in the Bermuda Triangle area. 15,000 feet underneath the ocean, like at the ocean floor, 15,000 feet. It was standing straight up like it had sunk all the way down. And that's where the ship rests to this day.
Who found it? Did they sail out to find it?
Everybody did surface scans for this ship. They sent out fighter jets. They sent out freaking everything to find this vessel and these 33 men. And then they found nothing. And then a week or two later, I think the Coast Guard sent out like deep submarines to do scans and to find this vessel. And then they found it eventually.
But I don't understand how the submarines were okay. So it's almost like the whatever is causing the Bermuda Triangle is not always active. It's like it's selectively active.
That's what it kind of seems like. I don't know. I mean, mind you guys, like right now, the magnetic sphere that surrounds the globe is extremely weak in North America. So maybe that has something to do with it, because it seems like if the compasses are going whack, it has to do with the magnetic sphere. That's my guess.
So the Bermuda Triangle is still running amok in this world. And most scientific communities refuse to believe it, even though, like, people fly through this. How do you think they get to Bermuda or the Bahamas or anything?
I'm thinking, like, you know, planes are, you know, because like commercial planes, they go up to like, what, 13,000 feet?
They go too high, you're saying? Because yeah. It's only fighter thinking, jets that go missing.
Yeah, exactly. Those are low to the ground. You know, the aliens are underwater.
Or the Atlanteans.
Bam. Or the Atlanteans are... Or the Atlanteans
That's are a subtopic. I forgot to mention that. And it's the
Atlantic Ocean.
There is...
Oh, yeah.
There's an underwater road called the Bimini Road, and it's like a bunch of rock formations that's just randomly out in the Atlantic Ocean. That's like... It's said to be like a long...
The road to Atlantis.
But Atlantis is supposed to be about off the coast of Spain.
Or well, we don't really know where...
Bro, you remember how big Atlantis was? Some people say it's
off the coast of Egypt.
But our theories that we agreed on was that it was low-key close to Greece.
Dude, Atlantis is everywhere. 90% of the fucking world is oceans.
Yeah, dude.
Actually, I think it's only 3/4.
The Atlantic Ocean. You'd think that Atlas would be in the Atlantic Ocean.
The Mediterranean Sea is absolutely the Atlantic Ocean.
No, it's not. It's a sea.
It's connected.
I see what you did there.
It's the same waters.
You see... Oh, yeah. You see... Yeah, no. Sorry.
Don't be a beach. Got a million movies.
Dude, I don't even think I'll have a theory. Oh, I guess I'll have to have one.
Are you floundering?
Wow, dude, if you keep saying that, I'm gonna storm out of here. We're bad. All right.
Damn, I'm sad I didn't come up with one.
All right, so basically my favorite theory is that we didn't get into it, sadly, as much as I wanted to, but my favorite theory is that there is technology left over from Atlantis that is going off periodically because of tectonic shifts that is setting off ship sensors. It's causing engines to erupt.
Right, because as we learned in the Egyptian, in the Pyramids of Giza podcast, back in the day when aliens were around, they taught the humans to harness the vibrations of the Earth. So that kind of makes sense why their technology might be powered by tectonic plates.
And that's why it's my favorite theory, is because I think that the lost city of Atlantis, even though they found the USL Pharaoh and couldn't find Atlantis, I think technology is under the ocean floor, and it is running amok. And that amok is the Bermuda Triangle.
That's a fascinating theory you have going on there. Probably not accurate. Jeremy, what's yours?
He's better than my Jack Sparrow for the Mary Celeste.
Dude, I think anyone is better than that one.
My theory, it's largely influenced by the fact that no major organization wants to even acknowledge the power of the Bermuda Triangle. I think that something in like Earth's history went like catastrophically wrong in that area hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And I think like the shadow government knows about it, but they don't want to acknowledge it to the rest of the people. So they're like, oh, it's fine. Just go through there. But I think whatever this huge dark secret, whatever it is, it's create. I agree with Matt's idea, the first part about just like a lot of things are wacky there. Magnets are going, and there's like a lot of energy and weird forces there that are not, like, they don't fit natural law as we understand it, like everywhere else in the world, you know. And it just like throws people off. And there's something very powerful that just draws things to it. And I think it's active sometimes, and it's active not. And I don't. And active sometimes, and it's not active other times. And I don't know why. Man.
All right. I think we need a theory that kind of brings everything down to reality, possibly.
What the hell, man?
So that was pretty good.
No, that was good. But and that my, was like, my, that my was Atlantis woo, woo, wah, theory wah, was
rock
know?
Solid.
Oh my God. Woo, woo, wah, wah.
No, okay. So this this is probably my favorite theory, because I think it actually makes sense. So this is what I think about my favorite theory. I think we need to kind of bring it down a little bit into the realm of reality.
You can do that. I already brought it to the
naysayer,
realist.
Naysayer, boo. Oh, come on.
No, I think, I really do think that the magnetic poles are, I think there's just an extreme amount of magnetism right there. And I don't know why. I think it has a lot to do with the Azores fault line. I think maybe there's an abundance of iron magnetism there that might be disrupting... I don't I don't know, because you said there weren't a lot of methane deposits. And
no, there are. They just haven't erupted in like 15,000 years.
Which means that there's probably quite a bit of magma down there. So I'm thinking that maybe the crust along that area, the Earth's crust, is very thin, leading to molten iron pushing up and disrupting our instruments. That's what I kind of think. And I think that also leads to sea quakes. And it's also a very tropical place, so it has a lot of storms. It has a lot of...
There's just a lot of shit going... There's a river!
That's what I have to say. That's what I think the theory is. I think it's all very reality, but real. But I love aliens, and I hope it's them. I hope they're down there probing the people and having them up there in their own ships, and they're all alive right now.
But the...
Hashtag...
I think my theory best addresses why nobody wants to acknowledge that it's a real thing.
I would agree. I would agree. I really like that. I love the shadow government. I mean, I hate it, but I love it. And all right, I think that covers it for the Bermuda Triangle.
All right. Go check out our Facebook. Check out our YouTube, our Twitters, and our Instagrams.
Don't go sailing to the east of Florida.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do drugs. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast.
Yeah, thank you for listening. And if you know people who are bored on their commutes that need some fresh material, suggest us.
Please.
I said dick. I definitely said dick on the first episode. Dick yell.